ठाकुरा दयार सागर हे दासे करुणा कोरी वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर हे दासे करुणा करी हे दासे करुणा करी
हे दासे करुणा करी
दिया पद छाया शोधो हे आमाया तुमार चरण धोरी
दिया पद छाया शोधो हे आमाया तुमार चरण
छाया वेद दोमी छाया दोष शोधी छाया गुण देहो दासे
छाया बेगो दोमी छाया दोष शोधी छाया गुण देहो दासे
छाया सत्य संग देहो है अमारे बुझती संगे राशे
छाया सत्य संग देह है अमारे बसती संगे राशे
ये काकी अमार नहीं पाया बाल हरि नाम संकीर्तने
एकाकी आमारा नहीं पाया बल हरि नाम संकीर्तने
तुम कृपा कोरी श्रद्धा बिंदु दिया देह कृष्ण नाम धने
तुम्हें कृपा करी श्रद्धा बिंदु दिया देह कृष्ण नाम धने
कृष्ण से तुमार कृष्ण दिते पारो तुमार शकतिया छे
कृष्ण से तुमारा कृष्ण दिते पारा तुमार शकतिया छे
आमी तो तंगा कृष्ण कृष्ण बली गायता पाछे पाछे
आमी तो तंगा कृष्ण कृष्ण बोली गायता पाछे
आमी तो कंगाल कृष्णा कृष्णा बोली घाई तव पाछे पाछे
आमी तो कंगाल कृष्णा कृष्णा बोली घाई तव पाछे पाछे
कोह वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर हे दासे करुणा कोरी
अरे वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर हे दासे करुणा कोरी
हे दासे करुणा कोरी
हे दासे करुणा कोरी
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి
జయ,
అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి
జయ.
ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుర్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ. We welcome all of you for the second session of Nectar of Instruction. Last time I did two things in Nectar of Instruction with all of you. We had the preface to the book about the glories of Srila Rupa Goswami. We discussed that. We spent some time in that. And then when we approached the first shloka, we devoted entire time for one very important subject last time. We all, in the path of Bhakti Yoga, we should become Goswamis and not become Godas. We don't want to become servant of our senses, because the senses will cheat us and make us slaves, and they will make us chase after sense gratification. And the ultimate goal of life, which is to attain eternal loving service to Krishna's lotus feet, that will be forgotten. And we are seeing that happening with practically the whole world all around us. So therefore I devoted one full class for this point, that the sense gratification should not be the goal of life. Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jignyasa narto yascheha karma bihi. In the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Kamasya na indriya pritir. Our desires should not be directed for sense gratification. Rather, our desire should be directed in awakening love for Krishna. That means we should desire the right thing. We should not desire the wrong thing. Like for example, you can say one should desire to eat halwa. One should not desire to eat stool. If one is eating stool, then one becomes a pig in the ditch who is eating stool, dirty substances. So, the whole world is somehow or other allured by Maya's powerful force, and they are all struggling harder. Manashrashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. Karshati means they are warring against Maya Devi, trying to satisfy their senses and getting frustrated, struggling more and more. So we don't want to join that rat race of just struggling to enjoy our senses, which is a useless attempt. Once His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj came to Pune. He was telling an interesting point. The struggle in the material world is like a football game which you can never stop playing and you will never win the game. He said, you will never win your war against Maya. Actually, we cannot take away all the tempting, alluring objects in this world, out of this world. That we cannot do. But we can keep ourselves out of those temptations by following the nectar of instruction. Because we have to live out our life till last breath in this world, which is filled with varieties of temptations and alluring objects. And we should keep ourselves aloof from them and focus on our Krishna Bhakti. So therefore the first shloka is very helpful in that connection. And in fact I told you last time how amongst all the senses in our body there are 10 senses. Eyes, nose, ears, tongue and skin. These are 5 jnanendriyas by which you learn, you gain knowledge acquiring senses. And there are 5 karmendriyas which are action senses, namely the hands, the legs, the genitals, the rectum and speech. And the leader of all these 10 senses is the mind. And in fact, jnanendriyas, shrotram, chakshu, sparsham, rasanam, granam, evacha, adishtaya, manaschayam, vishayanupasevate. This is the mind. Mind is a central figure, leader. And all the 5 senses are connected to the mind. Mind actually takes input from the jnanendriyas and then develops plans, desires, eagerness. Then he consults intelligence and says, order the working senses to fulfill my desires. That means, you know, if I saw some attractive eatable sweet in the shop, eyes have seen it, then the mind will request the intelligence, I want a sweet. Then immediately the leg will walk to the sweet shop, hand will pull out money and purchase the sweet and feed it. Then the mind says, wonderful, this is what I wanted. So in this way all our mind and senses are all chasing after the illusion of the world and putting themselves in great trouble. So therefore I showed you one verse from the 11th canto, if you remember. It says that indriyana jayantyashu nirahara manishinah varjayetu rasanam tan niranasya vardate. There is one verse, I showed you that verse, which says that amongst all the senses the most difficult to control senses is the tongue. Therefore we recite the prayer sharira vidya jal jodendriya tahikal, because O Lord Krishna, the tongue is the most difficult sense to control. Because if tongue is fed with nice palatable foods, then the belly becomes uncontrolled. When belly is uncontrolled, then genitals are uncontrolled. And then in this way one clamors for both eating as well as sex life. And one becomes carried away by all the senses. all other senses flow in the wrong direction. In this way, he says that how can one conquer the tongue then? By fasting you can conquer the tongue, but the problem is after fasting, the tongue becomes extremely greedy and goes out of control in such a way that we want to eat double, triple time what we have not eaten. So therefore, one wants to control the tongue and all the other senses. That is not possible by karmis, jnanis and yogis. It's only possible by bhaktas by developing a higher taste. Today we will see about that more. So last time I spoke these things, how we should not become slave of our senses. We want to become master of senses. And actually we are not master of Maya. Krishna is master of Maya. But by becoming Krishna's devotee, you know, Krishna will help us to surpass the pushings and pullings of our senses. And we can live peacefully, you know, performing devotion service. Our senses will become like a snake whose tooth has been broken, taken away. And the snake has no more tooth. Which means the bhogavritti or the enjoying mentality is gone. Then a devotee can peacefully spend the time in the material world chanting, practicing devotion life and go back to Godhead. So let us recite the verse. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jihva vegam udaropastha vegam etan veganyo visheta dhiraha sarvam api imam prativim sashishyat. Yeah. So in the purport, there is one very important point coming up in the purport. Okay. So then the beginning part of the purport, Prabhupada quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. Parikshit is asking a question to Sukadeva Goswami. Drishta shrutabhyam yat papam jananapyatmano ahitam karoti bhuyo vivashaha prayas chittam mato katham. Very meaningful question. He is saying, Guruji, in this world I see, drishta means if a person steals in a bank or any house, the thief is beaten by the police. And after death, shrutabhyam, the scriptures say he will be taken by the superintendents of death, which is Yamaraj. He will send his constables, Yamadutas, and take them to hell and punish him. Right now, police punish him, and after death, Yamakinkaras punish him. Drishta shrutabhyam, yat papam, for a person who is a sinner. Jananapi atmanohitam, knowing well that it is sinful, still he steals. Karoti bhuyo vivashaha, helplessly he does the same mistake again and again. Why? He is asking. What is the reason for this? How one can give up all sin? Like that he said. So then you see here, below, four levels of intelligence Prabhupada says there. First class intelligence means somebody hears that if you steal, you will be beaten by the police, you will be put behind the bars, then he will never steal, simply by hearing. There are some people, they hear it, still they don't understand it. But when they see a thief being taken by the police with handcuffed, and the police have beaten him, then they understand, my Lord, see this person, police are taking him, they'll put him behind the bars, I don't want to be like that. They learn a good lesson by seeing. And third class is people who steal something, caught by the police, handcuffed and taken to the police station, they got beaten up. They learn a good lesson, they will not do it again. And the fourth category of people, even after experiencing, they again and again do the same thing in this world. There are sinners who repeat the sinful activities. So Prabhupada talks about four types of people. Like for example, imagine a boy went to a three-story or a four-story building. And he says, I want to jump. Like there is one advertisement where there is one Shaktiman advertisement. He carries a cold drinks bottle in the hand and jumps in slow motion from the fourth-story building. So the boy thinks, I will also come in slow motion. Is it possible? You take the bottle and jump from there. Instead of coming in slow motion, he comes in fast motion and breaks his leg. So friends told him, hey, no, don't jump, you will fall. He didn't hear. So he jumped. Many of us, we have never jumped because we heard from others and thought it's not good, so we didn't jump. But he heard it, but he still jumped. That means which one out of the four he is following? He experienced himself. He experienced himself, correct, no? Now he broke the leg, 3 months he's in hospital, he will never do that again. But there are boys who even after experiencing again will climb up. You ask him, where are you going now? He says, that time I jumped from one angle, now I'll jump from another angle. He is a gone case. So there are people like that. Repeatedly they do the same mistakes over and over again. You see, animals have been seen to do that. Like if you see a bull, it'll eat a cauliflower or a cabbage from a hand cart. And the fellow will take a stick and beat the bull. Next day the bull will come to the same cart, same place and he will eat. Every day he gets beaten. Every day he takes the beating also, eats and goes. Animals it's all right, but how can human being be like that? Human beings are supposed to learn. Once you are punished by the police, why don't they reform? So Parikshit was asking this question. Why the living entities are repeatedly doing the same old puna puna charvita charvananam, sinful activities, why don't they give up? He asked the question. And then he's giving the Christian confession in a church. Prabhupada gives example. Throughout the week they commit sinful activities. Sunday they go and they kneel down and say, sorry father, I committed sin. And then the confession booth, they pay some donation and they say sorry and everything. Again Monday they start the same old activities. Again Monday to Saturday. Smoking, drinking, committing activities. So he gave the example of one year kunjara shauchavat. See that elephant. After taking bath, it is coming out and it is taking the dirt and like that putting all over the body foolishly. Because if you take a bath in the river and come out and put sand, it will all stick to your body. Similarly, people sometimes even do some puja, they do some religious yajna dana tapa and all they do. They do some yajna at home, thinking that we will not do any more sinful activities. Or sometimes they give charity. But it is seen that even the religious people keeping chandan kumkum, still they do irreligious activities. For example, there are people who may be doing some liquor business, or they may be selling cigarettes, they may be selling paan, or they may be cutting goat and eating time to time, offering to Durga. They know these are all sinful, but still they do, even though they appear to be a little pious and religious, doing some religious activities, they don't give up their old sinful activities. So, therefore, Parikshit was surprised. Why, like animals go by instinct, why the human beings also have uncontrolled senses and they keep doing the things over and over again? And what is the use of yajna dana tapa and all this? Then, here you will see disparity in the world. See here, rich, poor, see strong and handicapped people. You see healthy and diseased people. So, in this way you find the sinful reactions are visible to our eyes in this world. We can see with our eyes. People may not know about karma. They may wonder why these people are like this. But those who have studied the Shastra, those who know the Atma is passing from one body to another. If your past track record is good, you have done Punya, then you get benefits. If you have sinful activities, in Nectar of Devotion it is said, one gets an ugly looking body, one gets family, one gets a very poor birth in a poor family, you know, one is an illiterate, one is poverty stricken, one doesn't get food and everything, one is sickly. So these are all sinful reactions. Similarly, the pious reactions are also there. One gets benefits. You can clearly visibly see in this world. So then, let us go to the root and find out what is the cause of the suffering. Like this boy is looking at his knee, the sin has fructified here. That means the fruit of sin has come. So there are two types of fruits. Like in a neem tree, there is neem fruit, which is bitter. In a mango tree, there is mango fruit, which is tastier. Similarly, our body is compared to a tree in which the fruits of pain and pleasure are available. They are coming in this body. Like here you got a physical wound. Now somebody can get a fever. Or somebody can get a cancer. Or somebody can get some tumor or something like that. All diseases, they are physical suffering. So that is the fruit of some past sinful action. Similarly, somebody may have emotional suffering. For example, somebody is suffering from greed, suffering from anger, suffering from lust for somebody. So these are all emotional, and also somebody is insulted by somebody, somebody is depressed, somebody is lonely. So you will find that in this world, both physical and emotional sufferings are understandable to everybody. And these are all results of sin in the past. Sin is, very simple definition of sin is disobedience to God. That is sin. If you read Ishopanishad, Prabhupada says, sin means disobedience to God by disregarding His proprietorship. That's the definition of sin. The root of sin, he says, the root of sin is deliberate disobedience to God by disregarding His proprietorship. Like that he says in Ishopanishad. So, we have disregarded His Lord's proprietorship and done something against His will, which is manifesting like this. Okay. The sinful actions are producing two reactions. One is unmanifest. Like right now for this boy, it was an unmanifest state. Now it has become manifest now. The wound has been, and it's paining also now. Earlier this pain was due in his account. That is called aprarabdha. Now it is manifest now. This is called prarabdha, yeah. Like disease, yeah. See, for us to get disease, the first installment of prarabdha karma is the body itself, material body. And the second installment is on the body the diseases are given, because that's how you can suffer. Second installment of prarabdha karma. Here I give an example here. Okay. See, the man is thinking, should I steal money? That is a sinful tendency. He is thinking, I don't have a job, my studies are over in the college, nobody is giving me a job, I am roaming around. Can I steal some money, he is thinking. And then he is finding out there is a home where they have a lot of money. I will steal this money on such and such date. That is the best day. He has identified the date and time when he will steal. That is called bijam. That means a kutam is a general proclivity for stealing. And bijam means a specific plan that one has made in intelligence for enjoying. That is called bijam. And then on that particular day, time he goes, he loots the dollar notes. And now he is trying to escape and they call the police. See, the police is running behind him. That is aprarabdha. That means the punishment is due for him. Correct? Na aprarabdha. And last thing you see, prarabdha. Now he is caught now. And he is given the fruit of the stealing business. Which is, he will be put behind the bars for stealing the money of somebody else. Correct? Now this is how our cycle of sin comes in our life. Kutam, bijam, aprarabdha, prarabdha. One more example you are given. Like if this man is thinking, oh, this lady looks very attractive. I want to enjoy her, he is thinking. And then he is thinking, oh, I will enjoy her next month, the drinking party. When everybody is drinking, smoking, eating meat and everything. In the party, I will take her privately and enjoy. He is just making a plan, more specific plan. And here, so when he is indulging in illicit connection with her, so because of that, the aprarabdha karma immediately accrues. Immediately. So there is one video, we will put it up, it's called Karma Ghost, they call it. You know that? Karma Ghost, you know that? Karma Ghost is what? It is there in desertree.com. Karma Ghost is what? A man is walking on the road with his shoes, and then there is a ant or something, like that he is, you know, killing it with a shoe. And then when he is going, immediately the aprarabdha karma comes behind him, it chases behind him, you know. And then gradually what all sufferings he gets because of doing this. So they have shown it very nicely in that. You have that, no? Yeah, you can get it and you can upload it on our site, they can see it. How karma chases the living being. So here the kutam became bijam, bijam means a seed. And then aprarabdha, he is going to get the reaction, and now he got the reaction now. The manifest reaction comes in the form of some deadly disease, AIDS, like that. So in this way you find the living entities, they actually suffer the reaction also. But after suffering the reaction, still they don't give up. Again, nothing, and that's what he was surprised. Who? Parikshit. Why they keep doing the same old sinful activities? See, the papam leads to unmanifest reaction, which immediately clings to the living entity. And then from that, you see, manifest reaction comes as fallen mukham, pain. For a sinful activity, there is a pain which comes. But there's one more thing that happens. If you see here, it's called kutam. the sinful propensity also comes. For example, if somebody has stolen money in the previous life, the punishment for stealing comes, but along with it, the stealing tendency also comes. Similarly, if a man, you know, indulged with a woman in an illicit manner, so then the punishment for that illicit indulgence will come, but along with that, what one more thing comes? The tendency to again look for that opportunity will come. So when that comes, again one, that develops a bijam gradually. If one is careless with the kutam, you know, then bijam develops, bija develops. Very strong desire comes, adamant desire. And then again one indulges in papa. So it's like a vicious cycle, it keeps going again and again. Like you see here, the seed, you know, becomes germinates, then a small plant comes, like this it grows. Then it keeps growing. Eventually it will become a tree and manifest the fruits. That's how it grows. The Prabhupada is saying, how to stop the cycle of sin? Saying, tolerate the sinful desire. Shakrauti haivaya sodum praksharira vimokshanat kama krodhod bhavam viddi sayuktas sasuki naraha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he's saying that shakrauti haivaya sodum praksharira. He says, up to the point we leave the body, we have to control our anger, control over lust, control over greed. These are all lower natures, especially these three. They are actually called abhadra in the heart, impure things. Actually, these three are the programs which impel all our jnanendriyas, karmendriyas to go wild. Because of this only, like for example, Duryodhana had greed. So he wanted the land of the Pandavas. Ravana had lust. He wanted the wife of another man. You will see that. So in this way, you will find lust, anger, greed are the propensities which turn into bijam and kudu, they impel a person to indulge in wrong things. So therefore, one has to find out how, instead of repetitively sinning and suffering and sinning and suffering, going like a vicious cycle, one is unable to come out. Imagine, for example, it's an extremely cold day, chill cold day, and you find that the window glass is broken. You know, even if you close the window, the glass is broken. Both windows are broken. And chill wind is flowing, and the fan is in number 5, rotating very fast. And the only problem is you don't know where is the switch. You search in the entire room, you don't find it. So wind is also blowing, and fan is also rotating, and you know there is no blanket for you to cover. How you will feel? Because you are not able to stop the fan. In the same manner, sinful cycle is like that. People are completely ignorant like animals. And the past sins are coming and attacking them. They get the reaction in their body in diseases. They don't know why diseases come. And then while undergoing the disease, they commit more sin. Why? Because of the propensity coming from previous life. And then they are preparing for some more suffering in future. While reaping the fruits of past sin, now they are preparing to create more suffering for the future. And this keeps going round and round like a vicious cycle, unfortunately. Therefore, Prabhupada says, if you want to break this cycle, what you have to do? Tolerate the sinful desire. That means a kutam should remain kutam only. It should not become bijam. If a kuta is made into bij, then bij will grow into a big tree and then it will produce bitter fruits and give you a lot of bitter fruits to suffer. If you don't allow the kutam to become bijam, then it cannot give you suffering fruits. So then he says, do not try to satisfy the sinful urges. Restrain your mind, restrain your senses. Now this much we have to understand clearly. If any of you have any questions on this, you can put the question at the end, I will answer. This is a very important point, that we have to restrain sinful urges. That one should know. Like one boy was asking me in a program, sir, I am studying in a college, you know, that girl likes me and I like her. So we both actually go to hotel, go to park, go to beach and enjoy, because I am not exploiting anybody. She likes me and I like her. What is the problem? And he thought it is perfect. Then I asked all the students, what do you all think? And they all said, sir, it all seems perfect because both are agreeing. We don't think there is any problem. Then I told the fellow, are you fool? The girl doesn't belong to you. She belongs to whom? Her father. Shastras say, a girl unto the point of marriage belongs to father. So if you want to roam with her, the first permission you have to take is from her father. Go to her father and say, sir, I want to roam with your daughter, can I? He will say, first you finish your studies, get a good job, 10 lakh per annum, 20 lakh per annum, then come to me, I'll give my daughter in marriage to you, then both of you roam together. That's what father will say, correct, no? So then I told him, therefore what you are doing is sin. It is sin. You are disobeying God's plan. Krishna has never made a plan that you can do such a thing. That means you are taking another man's daughter without his sanction, without his knowledge or permission, and you are trying to take her and enjoy. So it is sinful. So one should know what is sin. The root of sin is deliberate disobedience to God by disregarding his proprietorship. So therefore one has to know it is sin. So then one may say, but I feel like doing it. Yeah, and that urge should be restrained. That urge should be controlled. One should not do that. Like for example, one of the devotees had asked a question. Prabhu, I went to your shop. I gave some money. Say, I gave him, 500 rupees. And I purchased a commodity in, 300 rupees. So how much he has to give back? 200. So he gave 700 back. So what he thought? He thought you gave 1000 rupee note. So he gave you 700 back. But you gave only how much? Only 500. So now you can take it home. Because actually that means you got the commodity also free. 300 rupees commodity. Plus you got extra 200 rupees also. Correct, no? So you are also getting money also. You got your money back. Plus 200 rupees plus commodity you got it. So now should you go back to the shop and give him or keep it with you? Have you go back and give him? If you don't give, instead of 200 rupees that you took, now you'll have to give him 20,000 rupees next life. And that money you will lose next life. The reaction will come. So in this way, all of us, knowingly and unknowingly, we are committing many sins. We are disobeying God, acting against God's interest in this world. And therefore, sufferings are coming again and again, like a cycle. So in order to break this vicious cycle, one has to tolerate the desire and not give it shape. And we should not try to satisfy the sinful urges. Yeah. See here. So first there is avidya or ignorance. What is that ignorance? Ignorance of our identity. Who am I? I am not the body. I am spirit soul. And I am not God. I am servant of God. So when you are aware of this knowledge, and I have forgotten Krishna, forgotten God, turned away from me, I have come here. Therefore, Maya is capturing me and she is putting me into all these situations. That is knowledge. When we don't have the knowledge because of avidya, we identify with the dehatma buddhi, with the material body. That causes material desire seed. And that causes sin. Correct, no? And that causes suffering. You can see that. Avidya kama karma bihi. Karma, kama, karma means a sinful work. Kama means material desire seed. And avidya. Avidya means ignorance. So she says that, Kunti Maharani. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bihi shravana smaranarhani karishyan nitikechana. She is telling, bhavesmin in this material existence, klishyamananam. Why the people are suffering? Because of avidya kama karma bihi. She is telling. They are ignorant. Therefore, they are identifying with the material body. The material desires are arising. When I think I am this material body, then I want material commodities to enjoy and exploit. Then I commit sin. Then I get suffering. So that means there are four things. Avidya, then kama bija, then papa karma, then papa karma phala. These four things are there. And all of them are ultimately, pain producing. Suffering, pain producing, everybody knows. I showed that boy having a wound in the knee. That is suffering. And sin is also suffering. Why? Because sin will give you depression. If there is a, for example, the sinful action we do, after doing that action also we will feel very depressed and lonely and some guilty feeling will arise emotionally. Physically also we suffer, emotionally also we suffer. And material desire seeds are inside. They will always, they will also say, do wrong thing, do wrong thing, do wrong thing. They will do like that. They will impel us to do wrong thing. The desire seed. So all are trouble producing. And ultimately avidya, because I think I am this body, it increases my false ego. It produces anger, it produces ahankar. So all these are pain producing. So now, you see here, this tree, the tree of sinful reactions can be destroyed by karma, jnana and yoga processes in a small way. We will see how. But the roots of avidya and the bija, material desires, they can be destroyed only by bhakti. So here if you see, see from the bottom, bottom to top you can go. The prarabdha karma phala, the suffering fruits can be cleared by yajna dana tapa. Therefore people do some yajna or charity so that they can escape the suffering. So they may escape the suffering, but they cannot escape the sinful activities. Still they continue doing sinful activities, as we told you. Like that elephant throwing sand in his body. Then there is jnana yoga with a procedure called tapasa, brahmacharyana and all those things. That can stop even the kama bijas also. Kama karma. Or it can also burn the bija in our heart, the material desire seeds, up to that. But then, beyond that, the proclivity or the tendency for sin, that can only be cleared by bhakti yoga, by the chanting of the holy name. Like that, the sixth canto, there is a verse which says that, ke chitke valaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha agham dun mantikarchniyena niha remi vabhaskaraha. That verse says, actually it's a long section, I am not explaining everything to you, but Shukadeva Goswami told him, our Parikshit, that jnanis do vimarshanam by analytical, contemplative understanding of this whole cycle of sin. They have analyzed and understood. So they don't commit sin and they don't entertain the material desires. But still, that tendency has made them fall down, like Vishwamitra Muni fell down, Saubhari Muni fell down. They all got diverted, distracted. So therefore, he said, even jnana yoga, it can only trim the grass from the top, but the root will remain. Again it will come. Or, it's like a glass of water which all the impurities are settled down. You take a spoon and stir it, it will come up again. So in this way, jnani, yogis and all, again and again they keep falling back. But if one adopts the bhakti yoga path, headed by the chanting of the holy name, one can come to the stage of not only getting rid of sinful fruits or activities or seeds, but even the kutam and avidya itself can be eradicated. Read below, real atonement. Real atonement.
Real atonement is awakened by dormant Krishna consciousness. Because devotion service is superior activity, it removes sinful activities from the heart. It causes attachment to serving Krishna, param drishta, higher test.
This is the point. Actually, the sense control which is spoken in the first verse, it is in and of itself not even a limb of bhakti yoga. Like for example, vannashrama, jnana, vairagya, or indriya nigraha, these are not a part of 64 items that he gave. But then why is he placing it in the first verse? Rupa Goswami, there is a reason for it. Because it is anukul. When we restrain the senses and follow the path of jnana and vairagya, it's very easy to adopt the devotional principles also in our life. It acts as an anukul agent, favorable agent. So he says here, how devotees are able to restrain the senses? Because they develop a higher taste in devotional service. Param drishtva nivartate. That is actually the secret. Like it's like getting a big plate of Mahaprasad that you don't care for sukha roti or dry roti, yesterday's roti. Like that. That advantage is not there for jnanis and yogis and karmis. Only devotees have that advantage. Like here you see, there is a useless atonement and real atonement. Useless atonement, I already told you, like the elephant bath. He takes bath and then throws sand in his body, or the Christian confession. They go to confession booth and again continue committing sin. Or even sometimes it is seen Krishna conscious devotees in the early stage. They may be chanting Hare Krishna, still continuing to break regulative principles and all like that. So therefore, he is saying the real atonement can be achieved how? By a standard process. Read it. A sinful activity.
A sinful activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity. Thus real prayaschitta attachment is the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, for example, there was a king called Nriga. Due to some curse, he had to suffer in a lizard's body And then for the good activities he did, he will be enjoying in heaven. So both were there. So they asked him, which one you want first? He said, first let me finish off my, you know, lizard's body. Huh? And then I can go to heaven and reside for a long time. So he was given a lizard's body for that sin. Huh? But at that time, because he had given some donation for building a Krishna's temple in the previous life, you know, Krishna's friends, Yadus, came to the well and they saw this lizard. And then they ran and told Krishna, there's a very big lizard in the well. When Krishna came and touched the lizard with his lotus feet, immediately Nriga was delivered. Huh? And then he told the story of the previous life. But why did I tell you? Nriga had to separately suffer for his sin and separately enjoy in heaven for his punya. So there is no algebraic sum. Huh? It is not that you do 20 sins and then 80 punya and then 80 minus 20, 60. So 60 you enjoy. It's not like that. It's not algebraic sum. Separately one has to suffer and one has to enjoy separately. So that's the point he is making. Therefore, the real prayaschitta means awakening of Krishna consciousness. Read further. Real.
Real attainment involves coming to real knowledge. And for this, there is...
So, real attainment means coming to real knowledge, he says. For example, a bull or a buffalo, you know, in a hand cart, it will go and eat. He doesn't come to real knowledge. Every day he gets beaten. So, he acts by instinct. Who? Animals. They act by instinct. But human being can think. He has to use his brain. Are you? I went to that relative's house. They didn't even look at me. They disrespected us. They didn't actually want us. I think our going was not liked by them. So afterwards they will never go. You have seen that? In India people say, you know, that relative of ours, they don't receive us well. They insulted us. So whole life they won't go to their house after that. Unless that person comes and begs forgiveness and calls back or something. So because human beings are sensitive, even if they don't openly speak by looking at their face and their treatment, people catch. They are so sensitive. Human beings are actually far more alert than animals. So therefore, you will see when you are in knowledge, you will not commit the same sin over and over again because you know the consequences of sin. You know that. But sometimes the consequences of sin are known. Still one indulges. Why? Because one has not yet developed a higher taste. That's the reason. Through Bhakti Yoga. So there are two things shown there. One is the regulative principles of austerity, celibacy, mind control, sense control, renunciation. These are all mentioned. One who strictly adheres to this program for a prolonged period of time, then they can actually awaken the knowledge and know that I should not do these sinful activities. And there is another one, which is the path of taking shelter of a Vaishnava guru and following the chanting Hare Krishna and following four regs. It's called one stroke method, Prabhupada calls it. That is, so the right side what you see is like a lift, and the left side what you see is like the staircase. You can go through the staircase to the 100th story building, 100th story, or you can go through lift. So any person would prefer which one? Lift is very comfortable. Only you should not get out of the lift. But it's a glass lift. You know glass lift? Where from the glass you can see every floor. In one floor you fly up, you see there are apsaras and heavenly planets and there are gardens and people are drinking somaras and Indra is hearing music in the first floor. You go to second floor. You find Bhulog, Bhulog, Swalog, Mahalog, Janalog. In every story, every floor you will find varieties of Gandharvas are singing, playing different instruments. Like one Brahmachari was asking, Prabhu, on the way back to Goloka, can I just take a small detour to Gandharva Loka? I asked, why? I just want to see, Prabhu, what all instruments they use and how they sing. I've heard their glories a lot. So maybe I will learn some raga from there, then I will go to Goloka. I said, you will get stuck up there, isn't it? So when you are going up in the lift, one should not stop the lift and get down in any other floors. One has to go straight to the top floor, which is Bhakti Yoga. So this is attain, go back home, back to Godhead. So here in this picture I have shown on the left side, the jnanis who meditate on impersonal Brahma Jyoti, you know, their heart becomes clean by knowledge. But how, like this glass you see, it looks transparent water, everything looks all right. But you take a spoon and stir it, it becomes like that other glass. It becomes black. Because all the impurities come again. That means, you know, by our own endeavors, by our own meditation, it is not possible to completely cleanse the mind. It's not possible. But by taking shelter of a pure devotee, I read that.
Definition of text 1 controlling these 6 urges. Definition of tapasya, Srila Prabhupada. A methodical training according to certain regulative principles to revive original knowledge.
To revive our original Krishna conscious knowledge, we have to do a tapasya. Tapasya means voluntary acceptance of little inconvenience for long-term everlasting happiness. That is called tapasya. Even the non-devotees also do tapasya, like somebody struggles hard to get into IIT, 5-6 years they struggle hard and study. Somebody going for the Olympics match, you know, they do net practice for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Similarly, somebody is a singer, you know, they restrain themselves from ice cream and everything, and then they practice. Everybody in the home is eating ice cream, but they won't eat because they have to save their throat. In this way, you will find many people do a lot of tapasya, restrict their enjoyment for some other, you know, higher goal. Similarly, in the path of spiritual life, there is divya tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyeti asmat brahma sakhyam tu anantam. Rishabhadev tells his 100 sons that don't do material tapasya, my dear sons. Do divya tapasya, divine austerities. Why? Because he says shuddhyeti asmat. He is saying tapo divyam putraka sattvam shuddhyeti. Means your heart will be purified. So why should I purify my heart? Then your kama krodha lobha will be driven out. What is the advantage of that? The result is, you know, brahma saukhyam tu anantam. Unending, everlasting spiritual bliss you will experience. He is telling them. See, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, what he says?
Bhaktisiddhanta, to practice resisting this six demands or urges is called tapasya, and such a person is called tapasvi.
Yeah. Now you, the six urges mentioned in the sloka, well, yeah, tapasvi can restrain them.
Traditional process of tapasya.
This is a traditional process. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha tyagena satya shauchabhyam yamena niyamena va deha vag buddhijam dhira dharma gnya shraddha yanvitaha kshipantyagam mahadapi venugulmam ivanalaha. So there are many items given here. These are the items given here. Read it. Practicing
austerity, celibacy,
brahmacharya,
controlling the mind, controlling the senses, giving one's possessions in the charity, being avowedly truthful, keeping clean, practicing yoga asanas, the wise destroy even great sin arising from the body, words and intelligence, just like fire destroys a clump of bamboos.
Yeah, but what happens below?
It burns bamboos, not bamboo roots.
That is the point. Those are jnanis and yogis follow all these things, procedures, which are good. Because you see, these procedures are able to cleanse our body, cleanse our mind, cleanse our intelligence. He says, our words, everything. It appears that, you know, we have become completely free from all vices. But then it's like the bamboo tree, when you burn it, up to the ground it burns, but the roots are still there. When the rainy season comes, again it will grow. Yeah, read it.
Rupa Goswami's recommended path of Bhakti Yoga benefits. One easily surpasses all other practices. Practices involve
only three things here. Association of pure devotees. See the picture that Prabhupada is giving initiation to a disciple. So, that is the association of pure devotee. Take Diksha. And regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. There are 4 basic principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And also we follow 64 positive devotional principles taught by Rupa Goswami. And then engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord by worshipping Him, by dressing Him, decorating Him, feeding Him as deity, and also doing missionary activities. In this way, on the order of Guru, we go on Harinam Sankirtan, distribute books, all the services we do. So in these 3 things only, take shelter of a pure devotee, and He will engage you in service of Supreme Lord, and follow the regulative principles, negative and positive, both whatever is given. In this way, this is a one-stroke method back to Godhead. Read the para below.
Krishna consciousness destroys sinful reactions, burns desire seeds, counteracts sinful proclivities, and uproots ignorance.
Yeah, please all of you repeat this. Krishna consciousness destroys sinful reactions, burns desire seeds, counteracts sinful tendencies.
And
uproots ignorance. So it does four things. That means sinful action, before they manifest in the body, the chanting of the holy name stops it from manifesting. Like one time, there was an ulcer about to manifest in the tongue, on the side. So you feel the pain before the ulcer manifests. You know that? So immediately go to doctor and take some bicalciules, because B vitamin deficiency you have. You take that, then the pain only will go away. That means it was supposed to become prarabdha karma now. Now it didn't come only. Correct? No, it was about to come, but you stopped it. Like that, bhakti does it like that. like somebody was supposed to cut his finger, or somebody was supposed to die in an accident. So the person may just get a finger cut during cutting sabji. So Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, token punishment. Instead of this much punishment, a bhakta gets only some punishment. Like this. In this way, the bhakti can nullify the punishment, the sinful pains which come in our body and mind. Therefore, for example, if somebody is undergoing, say, Sade Sati, we say, 7.5 Shani, that Shani is such a period, physically also, you will get fractures in the body, you will get diseases in the body, and mentally, emotionally, all people around you will pierce you. Everybody will speak sharp words to you, and small things you do mistake, people will make it very exaggerated, and everybody will put gun on you, and you may wonder why. And fortunately, if you know in advance, it is your Sade Sati time. many people don't know what to do. They are told by other people, just tolerate. But the best thing to do for a person in those 2.5 years is completely transcend the effect of Shani on the person by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting more holy names, keeping oneself aloof from all unnecessary interaction and quarrel with other people. And you spend your time transcendentally, spiritually, purely, then you are directly under Krishna's shelter. So that means what happened? Your prarabdha karma has been burnt away by Krishna. Whatever other people would have given you, the pains, that pain didn't come to you because you engaged transcendentally. Krishna has nullified the reactions. That's the first thing, sinful reaction. Then sinful disease seeds were there. During Sarasati, people may do some wrong things because of kudu seeds inside. But now you study Bhagavatam here, chant the holy name, then those desires are also destroyed. The sinful desires, you wanted to do some wrong things, they are destroyed. Sometimes devotee thinks, he told about me like this, I will also tell, or something like that. So that is a desire seed. So that kind of desire to commit sin, that is destroyed. Then it counteracts the sinful tendency only. Kutam only is destroyed. So then bija cannot come. And ultimately it eradicates avidya also. Completely. So that is the power of bhakti yoga. Now somebody may say, what's wrong in having material desires? And now you will learn that. See, I have shown you three. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi. I have shown you three pictures. So, like here you see the bhukti wala. He is seeing a car, he is seeing a costly watch. He is seeing, I think, bag with a laptop. And he is seeing some scent and and that lady is, I think, she is putting scent and attracting him, I think. So there are many things. Dhanam, janam, sundarim, all that is attracted. And jnani is attracted to the Brahma Jyoti. It's meditating. So this person, Karmi, he thinks enjoyment is in this world. And the jnani is already frustrated with this world. He thinks enjoyment is there. Merge in Brahman and be peaceful. And the yogi, he is practicing yogic powers to walk on water, you see. He wants siddhis. Now what is the problem? These are the three fellows, bhukti kami, mukti kami, siddhi kami. So regarding them, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami. He told that actually these bhogis are trying to enjoy the world, the tyagis are trying to renounce the world. They two are extreme positions of the pendulum. But a bhakta never renounces the world, never enjoys the world. He engages everything in this world in Krishna service, to whom this world belongs to. Krishna says, I'm Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Bhoktaram Egetapasam. So this is the peaceful platform, bhakta's platform. Bhakta doesn't take anything to enjoy. Artificially he doesn't renounce because nothing belongs to us to renounce. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it will come now. So read that, Krishna Bhakta.
Peaceful and happy. If one has any personal selfish desire, whether it be material, philosophical or mystics, he will be a santa or ultimately frustrated because he will see himself as the central object of satisfaction.
That is the problem. All these three fellows, Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhikami, they are all selfish people thinking I am the center. It's based on my what I will get. They are doing their own thing. On the other hand, Krishna Bhakta is
Niskama, Ateva Santa.
Yeah.
A devotee of Lord Krishna is Niskama. He has no personal desire. His only desire is to please Krishna.
Yeah. Here Mahaprabhu is telling Rupa Goswami same thing. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama, Ateva Shanta. Otherwise, the fruitive workers, jnanis, yogis, none of these people can be peaceful, he says. So, therefore, these three people cannot, if they are not peaceful, that means the kutam is still there. Therefore, they are not peaceful. Kutam, bijam, these are all there. They are not able to be peaceful. But a bhakta can destroy. There is one verse in Padma Purana which says, aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam phalon mukham krameneva praliyeta vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. That verse says that aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam phala unmukham. All these things krameneva, gradually they can be. For example, if I do very casual bhakti, I will destroy the sinful reactions. If I do little more serious bhakti, I will destroy the sinful seeds also. If I do, sinful activities. If I do very serious bhakti, intensely chant Ekadashi day, more rounds and everything, then the sinful bijas, they are all drowned in the ecstasy of the chanting of the holy name. They are finished. And then if our intensity knob is tightened more and more, very strongly we do bhakti, then what happens? The kutam also is finished. The very propensity for committing sin will be gone. And then finally, ignorance is eradicated also. In this way, bhakta becomes free from all these troubles. Therefore it is said, evam prasanna manaso, bhagavad bhakti yogataha. He becomes a prasanna chitta. So now, after having understood all this, now we can go to the six urges. Today I am going to cover two of them. Because what I gave you till now is the first part of the Prabhupada's purport. What Prabhupada says is, these vegams can be controlled by jnanis also, but to some degree, but they will eventually fail. The reason Prabhupada says is because there is kutam, there is bijam, all these things are there. Simply by having knowledge, they won't be able to control them unless they have a higher taste. Unless they become Vasudeva Parayana. Then only, there is one verse which says that, agam durmanti kachnena nihaarima bhaskara. Like in the morning time when there is a fog everywhere. When the sun rises, the fog is dismissed. Like one time I was in the airport. So the flight got delayed a couple of hours. So they told, what can we do? We can't exactly tell you what time flight will leave. Because when fog is finished, then only we can, take off the flight. Then we asked them, okay, when will the fog get finished? They said, that we can't say, whenever the sunlight comes. Then we asked, when will the sunlight come? That we don't know. Then we were waiting. Then we saw, instead of 6 o'clock flight, it became 8:15. Then hot sun came in the sky when sun rose. Then the sun dissipated all the fog. Immediately they made announcement, all of you come with your boarding pass, flight is going to take off now. In the shining sun, the flight could go. Because the shining sunlight. So therefore we say, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andakar, Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi, Maya Adhikar. So Maya Adhikar is like the kora or the fog. Maya is like fog, Krishna is like sun. When Krishna comes, Maya cannot remain. Or Krishna is like sun, Maya is like darkness. Can darkness and sun be together? Like where the sun comes, darkness has no place. It will go away. So therefore we should know Bhakti Yoga is the most powerful process to go to the root and even destroy the ignorance also. It makes one fully enlightened. It gives one the complete picture of absolute truth. So now after understanding that one, now all the six vegams we will talk in relation to how to apply them in relation to Bhakti Yoga. Because other yogas are useless. Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Karma Kanda and all these things. Karma Yoga also. Why? Because none of them is able to help us to remove the unwanted things. So only Bhakti Yoga is able to. So therefore each of these items we will speak in relation to Bhakti Yoga. Okay? Now it's clear? So this is the background Prabhupada gives in the beginning. So read that.
The conclusion is that only when we talk about devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can we refrain from useless nonsensical talks We should always endeavor to use our speaking powers solely for the purpose of realizing Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Text 1, purport, page 9.
Yeah. So, I have elaborated this in next slides. You see this, these people in the office, they're gossiping about some lady. You know, they're pointing fingers to her and she's feeling headache. So, this is a very common sight you can see in this world. People gossip from one mouth to another ear. And some, they are partially true, partially untrue. So there is a tendency in people to gossip about others. There is a tendency in people to talk about politics in the train and buses and flights. You see people talking. They talk about sports. They talk about things which are not even directly connected to them. They waste their own time. They waste others' time also. And such people are compared to a frog in the field, which on rainy day, it makes a sound, it makes a loud sound. Hearing that, the snake catches him, like you see the snake is catching. So Prabhupada is saying, the croaking toad simply invites the snake, please come here and eat me. So similarly, Prabhupada says, the materialistic men write many novels. Many materialistic men give big, big talks, useless talks, about very various material subject matters. There is one verse which says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedhinam. So Prabhupada says, a Grihamedhi is a person who is envious of other householders. One householder is envious of other householders. So they will say, hey, his wife will say, see, you only have a Maruti car. You look at them, they have an Innova car. You see, they are neighborhood people. When are you going to buy? They compare always. You see, you know, our son got only 10th rank, and their son got 2nd rank. Our son is a buddhu, you know, he's not studying, he's not very intelligent. They always compare like this. So they will also say that, you know, they went on a European tour, so you also have to take me. So you will always see that the materialistic people compare and they burn in their heart always. Therefore they gossip a lot, like that. Similarly, the materialistic people have thousands of subject matters, he says. Prabhupada says in the morning when a bird gets up, the bird is making sound. The bird generally asks the other mate, where is the food? Other mate says, don't worry, I'll bring it. Like you will see in the morning, coo, like then he makes a sound, which means, where is the food? He's asking. Then the husband bird is in another tree, he will say, coo, I'm bringing. Very soon I'm going and bringing the fruit. Don't worry, you be with the children, I'll come back. Like that they talk. Everybody is talking about food. People are talking about bringing money. People are talking about bringing comforts and facilities. Businessmen are talking about money. Some people are talking about politics. Some are talking about cricket. Some are talking about sense gratification. So in this way, everybody is busy, but nobody is talking of God. Therefore, they are repeatedly taking birth and death. Like this frog got captured by the snake. So therefore, on the other hand, I told you about Karmi is talking a lot. There is another category of fellows, Mauni Baba. See here. Read that. Mayavadis.
Mauna, self-imposed silence is not the answer. Temporarily appears so helpful, but ultimately proves a failure.
Yeah, this Baba is closing the eye and everything, but he is showing the hand, he wants to say something. Right? <No? laughs> So there are some Babas who keep a board and they write and tell other people. Writing means you are speaking only. You know, whatever is in your mind is loudly talking. So, simply shutting the mouth is not the solution. If God wanted us to shut the mouth, then why did He give us the mouth? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, what He says?
Krishna Gatha, engaging the speaking process is in glorifying the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The preacher of Krishna Gatha is always beyond the clutches of death, liberation.
Yeah. You see, Prabhupada is the preacher of Krishna consciousness, always talking. He is writing books. He is traveling across the globe, he is preaching, he is flooding everybody in ecstasy by his speech. In this way, he is liberating everybody back to Godhead. So, it's a duty of a devotee to glorify Krishna. Therefore, Lord has given us the mouth. See, here there is a verse by Prahlad Maharaj, famous verse, where he says, Prayena deva munayasva vimukti kaman maunam charanti vijane na parartanishtha naitan vihaya kripanan vimukshya yeko Nanyam Tvadasya Sharanam Brahmato Anupashye. He says, my dear Lord, there are so many jivas who are Brahmataha. Brahmata means those are rotating in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes they are king, sometimes they are praja, sometimes in heaven, sometimes in hell, sometimes in a human body or a demigod body, sometimes in an animal body or a bird's body. These living beings are brahmataha. They are roaming, suffering in this world. They are called sarvaga. They go everywhere in this universe. So he says that without your sharanam, the shelter of your lotus feet, these living entities can never become happy. So I want to preach, he says, this Kripana, and therefore he is sitting and preaching, Prahlad, see here. Giving lecture to his friends, and then later on he will make them all dance in the kirtan. And then he says, there is one category of fellows, jnanis, the maunam charanti. Maunam means? They adopt gravity, silence, they don't speak. Vijana means into the forest, they go into the forest like Himalayas. And then he is saying that, na pararta nishta, they never try to do welfare activity for the suffering people. But he says, I don't want to be like them, he says. Because those guys are concerned about svam vimukti kama, means their own moksha. They are not concerned about the moksha of all other people. So he says that, I don't want to be like those Moni Babas. I want to glorify Krishna and bring people to your lotus feet. After dispatching all these fellows back to Godhead, then lastly I will also come back. Like that he is saying, Prahlad. So when I read this verse, I was so thrilled. This Prahlad mood is what Prabhupada adopted. In a preaching moment. So it's not that a Vaishnava tries to shut his mouth. Instead, we always use the mouth only for glorifying Krishna. That should be the principle. This is another verse. Na yat pachas chitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragni tagar hichit tadvaya samti tamushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantya shikshaya. This verse says that there are two classes of birds. Like you see in the picture, there's a crow and there are swans. You know, the swans live in clean conditions. They live in Manasarovar Lake where there are lotuses and lilies. Similarly, the hamsas are compared to pure devotees of Krishna who delight in pure Srimad Bhagavatam, delight in worshipping the Lord, chanting, dancing, eating only pure prasadam, and always discussing Krishna Katha. If you go to any assembly of Krishna's devotees, they will discuss Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, Krishna's teachings, Krishna Shiksha and Krishna Upadesh. Krishna Upadesh and Krishna Leela, they will discuss. On the other hand, the crow class people are compared to those people who are reading this horrible novels and watching some mundane serials in the TV, reading all kinds of rubbish, like they sell in the train, time pass. So many cinema magazines which are all dirty pictures. By going through those dirty cinema magazines, one gets agitated in the mind. And people are buying and opening and reading all these dirty pictures. People are not dressed properly and, you know, all obscene things are presented in such books. Or there are other fellows who are reading speculative books, imaginative novels. You will never get purified by reading them. You will only be putrefied by reading them. So, and also there are people writing Adhunik Kavita. There are people, therefore he uses the word Chitra Padam. Somebody may write a very sweet poem also, but the poem is mundane poem. It's about love affair between man and woman, or it is about the material world, material things, which has nothing to no connection to Krishna. So therefore, here it says that Srimad Bhagavatam is for swan-like people. Prabhupada, when he went to America, he asked, you know, I have come here to convert the crow class people into swan class people. So all of us, when we are advancing in devotional service, we were like a crow, now we are slowly made like a swan by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So we have some black feathers and some white feathers. So eventually what has to happen? All black feathers should go away, only white feathers should remain. For that we have to always use the mouth only for glorifying Krishna and not commit offenses by criticizing devotees, fault finding with devotees. Or we should not use the mouth to talk mundane subject matter, prajalpa. Keep it pure. Yeah. The Anuvritti commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that there are three things, urges that cause material identification. That is, urge to speak, mind's demands, and bodily demands. He says, and due to the mind's demand, there is raga and dvesha, attachment and anger. Because of the mind, because mind has sankalpa vikalpa, likes and dislikes, so attachment and aversion. And also the body means tongue, belly, genitals are in one line. So he says that the effect of succumbing to these three urges, life becomes inauspicious and miserable for the living entity, he says. Therefore we should do tapasya. We should do those practices that resist these demands, by which you can overcome. So, and that is about Tapo Divyam Putrakayana Satma, as I told you. So, this was about the Vachovegam. So, the answer is very simple. Vachovegam, to control it, we should utilize it for glorifying the Lord. That is the only purpose for which we should use it. And this is Manasavegam. Read it.
Manasavegam, mind's demands, control mind. Problem of the mind, restlessness, fickle. Cannot neglect thoughts and create vacuums. Idle mind attracts anarthas, unwanted desires. Yogic processes to negate mind of all thoughts to create vacuum in the mind is artificial. It will not remain. If one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, the mind will automatically be controlled.
Yeah, this is Agnidara sitting in a park trying to do some yogic meditation, and there is Purvachiti who is coming, who is Apsara, who is dancing. And so now he heard the sound of the ankle bell and he is opening his eyes. So with one eye open, one eye closed, he is trying to do meditation. Is it possible? So therefore you will find yogic meditation and all doesn't last as purposes, because if you have seen the sweetness, beauty, tenderness of Krishna, and Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Lord is so supremely attractive. Once that higher taste is awakened, then one will know that this is simply a display of illusory energy. And so one is unable to see like that in yogic processes. However,
if one always thinks of Krishna and how to serve Krishna best, one's mind will naturally be controlled.
Yeah.
The restlessness or fickleness of the mind is controlled when one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna Suryasama, if Krishna is present in the mind, there is no possibility of being agitated by Maya's influence.
So these are pure devotees, you see, they are so absorbed in Krishna, there is no possibility of getting agitated like Haridas Thakur or Billamangal Thakur. You know, they have lost their heart to Krishna. They have lost their mind and heart to Krishna. And that is the best way, like Prahlad here. He is always attracting the loving glance of Krishna upon him. So then their minds are purified, minds are subdued, minds are controlled. And they don't have to fear the mind, because the mind has lost its propensity for sense gratification. The mind is filled with plans for, you know, executing devotion service to Krishna. There was a great king called Ambarish Maharaj, Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikunta gunanu varnane. Like that, there's a verse. He engaged his mind in thinking of the lotus feet and pastimes of Krishna. And he engaged his hand in cleaning the temple. Engaged his eyes in seeing the deity. Like that, all the senses he used in Lord's service. And in this way, he conquered this thing. Mind and senses, it is said. So, I will tell more about this mind in the next lecture, along with the anger, and the force of anger. So, I will conclude here and take some questions now. The other questions? Okay. Here, Dheeraj Prabhu is asking, recently I heard a shloka, Yasya Smarana Matrena Janma Samsara Bandhanat, means, by consciously taking Vishnu's name, even one can make us free from repetitive cycle. Is it true? Yasya Smarana Matrena. It is not just even once. It says Yasya Smarana Matrena means simply by remembering the Lord. And remembering the Lord is also not very easy, because our mind is so impure. It's wandering everywhere. You know, you try to remember the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, but mind runs away always. That was spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yeah, for getting that remembrance, you have to chant Hare Krishna for many years. Yeah. Narasimha Prabhu from Mumbai is asking, today Bollywood hero Sushant Singh Rajput has committed suicide, hanging himself to a fan at his bedroom in Mumbai. Why successful hero with lot of money and have things one would expect to have in his life commit suicide? Because he's not Krishna conscious. Very simple. His mind tricked him, cheated him. Actually, in life, if you are struggling to become a hero, you can become a hero. If you are struggling to become a crorepati, you can become crorepati. But you will not be happy without Krishna. With Krishna, Sudama was happy with no money, with tattered clothes, with a skinny body. He was happy. Sudama didn't commit suicide. You can see here, this fellow committing suicide, even with so much fame and money, because he has no Krishna. Poor fellow, we should have given him a Prabhupada's book. So if he had Krishna with him, he wouldn't do this. Because people turn away from Krishna and they suffer. Baladev Prabhu is asking from Pune, why is Khan NVCC don't have library for students who can come and do their studies as well as read Prabhupada's books? because around NVCC many colleges are there and many students come and go. Actually, we were having a plan for a huge library here. Then many people told us that, Prabhu, times have changed. Now everybody is in their computer and they have e-books available in their own smartphones. Even if we make a big library, we have a library in our temple. Anybody can come and read, but it's a small library. So we were actually planning embarking on a big library. But we heard that many students nowadays get thousands and thousands of books in net directly. You put the name of the book, you can immediately download it, easily available. So after that, we were in two thoughts. We haven't decided it. Yeah. Naresh was asking, can a devotee give blood as a donation? Will it bring sinful reactions? Also, donating organs after death, please explain. Actually, I told the other day, the organs are all supplied to you by Krishna, and you can either give your organs for a pure devotee who will never misuse them, or you hand over all the organs back to Krishna, which you have taken from him. Like I am taking some tool set from you, I am going to lay in a shop floor lathe and I do the operation. While going back, I have to submit the tool set back to you, because I have taken from you. And like for example, say you give me 1 lakh rupees debt to me, and after using that, I have to give you back 1 lakh. Instead of giving you 50,000, I give it to another person, say, you go and take it from him. Can I say that? I took from you, I have to give you back. That is the understanding Shastras give. And also another thing I told you the other day, if you are giving your netradan, your eyes may be misused by somebody. So you may be thinking of giving it for a good purpose, but may be misused. Therefore, we have to ensure that in case you give also, it should be used by devotees who will always use it in Krishna service. In that way, either you use or they use, it goes to whom? Service goes to Krishna only. And as far as blood donation is concerned, if the blood is for saving someone's life is under threat, and you have that particular blood group, they are asking, certainly we can give charity. And once they come back to life, they will come and thank you so much. Prabhu, you saved my life. You say, please take this bead back, chant Hare Krishna now. You can tell them to chant. Because if you are really grateful to me that I gave blood for you and saved your life, please chant Hare Krishna. So it becomes an opportunity for preaching, you see. Yeah. And Vaibhav was asking, how make Kutam remain Kutam and not let it become Bijam? Good question. Vaibhav has a brilliant question. So chant Hare Krishna very intensely, seriously. Ekadashi day, now Wednesday is Ekadashi day. Chant more rounds on Ekadashi day. Read more Prabhupada books and keep away from temptations. Although you are living in a world of temptations, because temptations actually make the Kutam turn into Bijam. Like boys who watch pornography or watch dirty things on the internet, they are actually turning Kutam to Bijam. And then they are inviting sinful reactions eventually. So nowadays easily things are accessible, we should avoid them. Keep away from temptations, intensify your Krishna consciousness, read and chant and hear more, put a wall of devotees around you, remain protected in the company of devotees, and increase your bhakti and you will see, you will rise above. Radhika Madhavi from Pune is asking, what if we do philanthropy work like eye camps or establishing hospitals to cure material suffering, but one has to suffer for his karma? If one gets eyes and he sees pornography or commits sinful activities, who will get the sinful reactions? Is it recommended? Good question. Actually, in Bombay, there were six congregation grihastha devotees. So they once came to Zalna Radhanath Maharaj and they told them, Maharaj, you know, we are all working in six different hospitals and all are karmi doctors there. Atmosphere is so horrible there. Now we are also not able to do anything devotional there. So we want to come together and start a hospital. We are all grihasthas. We need to earn money also. And we want to be in a devotional environment. So do we have your blessings? They asked. So Maharaj gave them a beautiful blueprint. He told them that three things if you agree to do, then you all can come together, he said. He said Varnashrama Dharma and Vaishnava Dharma and Vaishnava Dharma Prachar. These three things if you keep as the center of your hospital, then your coming together is meaningful, he said. And then he explained, Varnashrama Dharma means you are all grihasthas. So you have to offer a part of your earning fruits to Krishna service. Some siddhir, haritoshanam. So, and also na utpadiye dediratim, shamaye kevalam. So he told that you follow the grihastha dharma in such a way that the hospital should help you to awaken Rati for Lord Krishna. Second thing is Vaishnava Dharma. The hospital's main goal should be to practice Vaishnava Dharma. The devotees can wear tilak, they can have the deities there, and there can be kirtan going on in the hospital. Prabhupada's book should be available, and people who come there should get connected to Krishna consciousness. And you also should be able to intensely practice Krishna consciousness yourself. And thirdly, sadharma prachar means the neighborhood, villages, other places, let people, you have to do some preaching, and every year you should show a record that you are making devotees. Like for example, ISKCON temple is making devotees. If your hospital also is making devotees, who are people who come as sick, and then they go through some department, their OPD, outpatient department, at that time they have a spiritual counseling, and then they tell them, see, your karma only has brought you this suffering. So we are giving you some healing thing, but this is superficially we are healing you, but your karmic reactions are coming. So therefore it is better for you to put a full stop to all this by chanting Hare Krishna. You take this card, take this chanting, we have a weekly Gita class, please come and join. In this way they have connected 100, every year they connect hundreds of devotees. So this is not a ISKCON project, this is a Grihastha project. It's like a Grihastha Varnashrama project. Maharaj, actually they don't have the title ISKCON there. It's not a branch of ISKCON or something, it's an independent hospital. But run by Grihasthas for these reasons. They want association of each other. And they can wear tilak, kantimala, Hare Krishna, they can say to each other. They have Jagannath Balade Subhadra. There is a pipe which takes all the Prabhupada kirtan and lecture all through the hospital everywhere. And they can make some of the patients into devotees. They can sell Prabhupada books. And also when they go for the eye camp to Barsana, you know, the doctors who go from there, maybe 10-20 doctors, but then students from various medical colleges go. Some 300-400 doctors may go, you know. 300-400 people may go to Vrindavan. And then Vishwara Prabhu gives wonderful katha, you know, all over Barsana. You know, he takes them and shows all the holy dham and everything. And also even during the operation, Harinam Sankirtan is going on. And they are especially treating the Vrijabasis and Barsanavasis, and the dham residents who are very old and very poor and they can't afford to pay. And they have a lot of bhakti for Radharani, a lot of bhakti for Krishna. Those are the people who get treatment there. So the eye camp has three purposes. One purpose is to serve the dhamvasis. Second purpose is to also take new doctors and introduce them to Krishna consciousness, like that, and by taking them to yatra and everything. And thirdly, to dovetail the talent of the doctors in such a way that it enhances their Krishna consciousness and also leads to preaching. So this kind of program they made in their hospital. So then and they're all very, very Krishna conscious devotees. Dwarakadish Prabhu and our Vishwarup Prabhu, our Madhavananda Prabhu, powerful devotees. They are very, very advanced devotees. Even we brahmacharis in Pune, we love to hear lectures from them when they come to Pune. So if the doctors are having high intensity Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't become social service. Rather, it sucks people into Krishna consciousness. And Maharaj told them, if you people are doing this, then it is worth having a hospital. Otherwise, you can shut it down. There is no use. If you are not preaching and making devotees, it is simply like any other school or any other hospital, then what's the use of this hospital? Why to take so much burden of management? Better you work in some other hospital, let them take the headache of management. Maharaj very clearly told them. Okay. So, and another question she has asked here is, okay, like you are giving your eyes to somebody and they are misusing it. See, for example, you are giving to a beggar some 10 rupees. Instead of eating food, he is smoking cigarette. That sin will not come to you. And that sin will go to the beggar only. See, when you gave, your intention was to serve him, to appease his hunger. With that good intention you gave. But he has misused it. But once you know he has misused it, should you give him again? No. Then you should tell him, hey, you are smoking. Now I will only purchase food and give you. I will offer it to Krishna, I will give you. I will not let you smoke or drink. So therefore, right now, you are enlightened now, that you, if you give your netradan eyes, somebody may use it for a wrong purpose. So you are a Krishna conscious devotee. You are enlightened now. Then why to give eyes to somebody who will misuse it? Or you can give a condition while giving netradan. This should be used only for Krishna conscious devotees who are blind for them. You can give a, put a clause, condition. Devotee is asking, I have engaged physically once with a girl, but no sex. I feel too guilty, but do not wish to marry her. And the astrology also does not match. the girl wants to marry me. Does this come under illicit sex? Yes. What should be done? Yeah, it comes under that. Of course, you are saying that you are engaged physically, but you didn't have, intercourse with her, mixing like that. Okay. Actually, there are many boys, girls in the teenage level. They are not aware of Krishna conscious lifestyle, and they don't know what is sin. Generally, when the hormones secrete at the age of 13, 14, 15, so they get attracted to each other, boy attracted to girl, girl attracted to boy. So they come to different levels of intimacy. Some of them talk on phone, some of them go to movies, some of them touch each other. These kind of things happen. If such kind of thing has happened in your ignorant stage, and the astrology is not matching, your parents may not want you to marry her, and you also don't wish to marry her, but she is after you. So, in these situations, you can explain to her that I didn't indulge with you, and neither did I make you abort a child or anything like that. We have not gone to that level of communion coming together. So, you can tell her that I was a fool. In those days, I was sort of getting intimate with you. Now I am realized. I forgive you. Please forgive me for those intimate moments. I am sorry. One can pull out. But because you are saying that astrology is not matching and you have no wish to marry her also, and at that time you were ignorant. Now you have become enlightened. But in case a boy had indulged with a woman in intercourse, and if one has gone to such a level, then ditching her would be considered a very great sin. And it would be inappropriate. Even this itself is also going to bring forth a solid amount of sin. Even this also for cleaning up which you have to do a lot of high intense devotion service, because Krishna says that one can cleanse the sin by taking to devotion service in a very serious manner. But once we are enlightened, we should not repeat such things. Okay, Sunil Sharma is asking, the word agraha means eagerness to accept. How can I enhance my eagerness? Eagerness to accept, yeah. That will come in the third verse, utsahanishya dairyat. I will speak about that when it comes. And Madhuri Mata is asking, if kutam is not allowed to become bijam, what happens to that kutam? And the kutam will remain like proclivity. At that time, the urge will be there. And then you intensify your bhakti, the bhakti will counteract kutam. See, kutam is acting downward vector. And bhakti is acting upward vector, like that. And then finally, kutam is defeated. Kutam was destroyed by bhakti. Then bhakti, after finishing kutam, bhakti goes to where? Avidya. Then avidya is also ignorance, darkest ignorance. And bhakti lights up the room, dark room with bright tube light. Like that bhakti lights up. Then darkness is also finished. So they will all be finished. That's what happens to them. Lakshmi Mata is asking, do we have to introspect our desires and anarthas regularly by following the bhakti process? Automatically cleansing happens. No, by following the bhakti process, automatically cleansing happens. But if anarthas surface, we can take a hint that I should be careful, because this particular, like say for example, I spoke offensively about a devotee, that means I have hatred for the devotee, so I have to be careful, because tomorrow I may pick up bigger fight. So we should take clues. I will tell about this more when anger comes. Next one, the topic is on anger next week when we discuss, I will tell you more. Raghu Prabhu is asking, should devotees see Kundali before marriage? From your lecture we can hear, doing Krishna consciousness, we can destroy all sinful reactions. Then what is the necessity? Oh! To become transcendental means, it will take a long time, and horses don't fly, So one has to know that many of us born in this world with material body and conditionings, the boy and girl may say, see, our kundali is not matching, still we will marry because, you are a devotee, I am a devotee. Yeah, you are a devotee, but after marriage, how intense is the devotional service? Quite often the devotional service goes to backseat, and then my priorities, her priorities, they become very important. And we behave more or less materially, not so spiritually. Then all the navagraha start acting also. So to the degree you are sheltered in Krishna, you go above navagrahas and you are directly under Krishna. To the degree you are weak in Krishna consciousness, you come under navagraha influence also and trigunas influence also. So quite often we are not so strong, we become influenced by maya also. Then the marriage breaks. So Kundali also one has to see with 3-4 astrologers nowadays, because many people are cheaters. You have to actually get a, if 3-4 people are saying the same thing, you know, there are 28 matches out of 32, you can go ahead. So like that, if they, 3-4 of them say very similar thing, that means it is true. Otherwise, one should not get cheated by just one astrologer. And Rajesh was asking, what exactly the meaning of Prajalpa? That I will tell you in the Atyahara Prayas, Prajalpo Niyamagraha. I will tell more about that. Murari was asking, ignorance is the root of sin. Then why even after acquiring knowledge and hearing repeatedly, sinning tendency remains? It's like a good strain. You put a brake here, sudden brake, you know, but it stops 30 feet ahead. You put the brake, like fan also, you switch off the fan, it takes some time. Similarly, we also are acquiring knowledge now, but we don't stand up to this knowledge which we know. Do you always behave in a Krishna conscious way? There are times when we become slack in Krishna consciousness. Those are the slack moments, like a spike, moments of desires where we become little loose, and then it leads to sin. So we don't have to worry too much about it. Let us increase our Krishna conscious intensity, and all good will happen eventually. Shantanu Prabhu is asking, if devotee commits some unknown sins like ants getting trampled unknowingly or killing harmful insects or animals, does his bhakti burn away the sinful reactions? Yeah, correct, you are right. Actually, you know, bhakti will never be obstructed by that. There are panchasuna, we call it. When you are inhaling, exhaling, some germs are killed. When you pour water from a jug, some germs are killed. When you light a fire, some germs are burnt. When you are walking, you put your feet on some ant, they may be killed. And when you take a pestle and mortar, and you know, when you pestle it, sometimes some insects may be crushed in that. So these are called panchasuna, 5 types of sin. Bhakti will eradicate all of it completely. We don't have to worry at all. Because your body, mind, words you are using in Krishna service, Krishna will take care. Murari was asking, how without material desire we will put maximum effort in our material endeavors? Actually, you are a devotee, even your material education is also spiritual only. Why? You are doing it on Krishna's order. Krishna says, Tasma sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha mayyar pitamano buddhir mame vashya sa samshayaha. He says, my dear Arjun, do your material and spiritual duties, giving equal weightage to them. Remembering me, you do your duty, Krishna says. So, Murari Prabhu, you should do your studies as service to Krishna. You should not think of it to be material. For a devotee, nothing is material. Everything is spiritualized for a devotee. You get good marks and tell all your friends, because I am chanting Hare Krishna, I got good marks. You can tell them. Abhijit Prabhu is asking, we have heard that Iswaran Ranaswami Maharaj is telling that devotion service is awarded. It is not attained by our own efforts. But as you mentioned, if we intensify our bhakti, read more, chant more, we'll destroy all the kaam, karma, vijaya, everything, and we may think that I attain devotion service by my own endeavor. How to reconcile these two things? Actually, what Maharaj says is correct, and what I said, that is also correct. Actually, Krishna, when he sees our endeavor, then he is pleased to award devotional service. Like, you know, Krishna is throwing a rope to me, I am inside the well. Now, Krishna is telling, I am throwing rope, what I should do? I should catch the rope. That is my endeavor. And then he'll pull me out. If I tell Krishna, no, you only take me out. No, you have to catch the rope. This is the example Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives. So our endeavor and his mercy, both jointly will make him award the devotional service to us. Same thing in this world. Like Arjuna is not sleeping in the chariot. When Krishna is giving guidance how to fight, and Arjuna is also fighting. Similarly, you sow the seed, God gives you the reins. You give the interview, and the panel chooses you for the job. Similarly, you study and write the papers and everything, and college awards your degree. It's always two way, your endeavor and God's grace. Then I was asking, please explain again that how Bhakti Yoga removes Kutam Bijam. Many are actually very interested in Kutam Bijam. Okay. You will understand it more as you proceed to the further verses. Don't worry. And there are many more items are there. At that time it will become clear to you. Dhananjay Prabhu. Okay. And Madhav was asking, if I am new 16 rounder and finding it difficult to chant 16 rounds with mind continuously diverting, please give some helpful tips. We have put, you can see this Bharat Maharaj, correct, no? Alert to metal attachments. Bharat Maharaj in our live.radisham.das. You click that, you will get many articles there which will help you in attentive chanting. Mahalakshmi Maharaj is asking, you told that we have to tolerate our urges when we are doing service. Most of the times out of duty, even we don't like to do, we have to do the service. But Krishna will see our intentions, not our actions. Now my intention is not pure, so I am not doing with pure intention. Will he take away service or association? No. What you should do when you are doing service, your mind is grudging, for example. You should tell Krishna that, Krishna, look at my mind, how horrible it is. You know, you are so great and you are giving me opportunity to serve, but due to my naughty mind, impure mind, I am having an improper intention. I am grudgingly doing service. Please take away this impurity so I can delightfully do service to you. If you offer a prayer like that, Durdaiva Midrisham Ihajanina Anuragaha, then that becomes a prayer. Then Krishna will be pleased with your prayer. You can pray like that. Akashpa is asking, does desire is in the mind or with the soul? No, it's in the mind only. Actually, the soul is acting through mind, through senses, through intelligence, through the body, everything. The soul is aloof from all this, but actually in the mind we store our desires, previous experiences, everything. Shivam Prabhu is asking, when our mind goes over our intelligence, how can we bring it back to Krishna? Yeah, you can read that article about art of chanting techniques. You can read in that Bharat Maharaja section in live.org. Okay. Aditya Vallabhadas Maharaj is asking, if you go to Goloka only after full purification, how is that we get attracted to other lokas on the way up? In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that you fly back. See, Dhruva Maharaj had even seen Lord Vishnu. After that, he picked up a quarrel with Yakshas. Do you know? It comes in the Bhagavatam. So we have to be very careful. Even last minute, our mind can change. Until you put your foot in Goloka, you can't be sure. Huh? So we have to ensure that we don't get diverted anywhere. Yeah. And Nirmesh Prabhu is asking, as you said, nowadays we get Bhagavad Gita in net and e-book available, then why in book marathon we push hard copy of Gita? Actually, there are many people in India who don't prefer watching the computer screen for a long time. They prefer to have a hard copy. Even I myself, I prefer more hard copy books as much as I can use. Occasionally I have to use the computer ones. Because reading book means a lot of eye contact with the screen. That's one reason we sell hard copy. And also Indians are not so computer savvy. Like in the West. And in the West, even if you want to buy a potato, tomato, immediately they go to computer and internet and they order. But in India, people go to market and choose and bring, they take bendy and break it and see, and then only they bring it. They don't just order from the computer. So people are not so computer savvy. That's another reason we are selling the books. Yeah. And if you give the books to people, there are people who are buying the books. So as long as books go, we'll keep giving. And when time comes and nobody touches any book, then we will sell e-books after that. Yeah. Here, Dilkushpa is asking, how to apply austerity of mind, speech to control the mind and tongue as per Bhagavad Gita? Many times analysis leads to paralysis. How to avoid paralysis? Yeah. So, you practice in a very natural way. You have to only watch one thing, Dilkushpa, that in case you see mind is going to some wrong direction, senses are going to wrong direction, pull it back again. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyetad atmani eva vasham nayet, Krishna says. As the mind goes somewhere, pull it back again. If the mind is not going somewhere, don't too much strain yourself. Where is my mind and all that? Whenever mind goes, we all can see it. Now my mind is going to impure things, wrong things. You pull it back, he's saying. Otherwise, you just focus on chanting, doing service, being with, you are already in SBN Choice in Warangal. You are in a good shape with all devotees, surrounded by devotees. You have nothing to worry. You just continue doing devotional service, whole morning program you have, do nicely, and you are rightly situated. You don't have to take too much anxiety. Akashpur is asking, if Krishna consciousness automatically destroys kirtan, in which case material attachment still remains and the 10th offense of chanting? In which case is the material attachment remaining? That's a good question. Actually, we have not crossed the stage of anarthana vritti. You know, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. In Bhajana Kriya means you are initiated devotee, chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regs, you have taken shelter of a guru. And anarthana vritti stage is a long stage for many people, because I have recently spoken on shaky to steady spiritual life. 5 parts, it's there in our website. If you get time, you go through it, it's not very difficult. There you will understand what are the anarthas we have to overcome, and that is where this intensity of the bhakti will matter. We have to avoid offenses to devotees, we have to avoid sinful activities, and then we practice, gradually we get purified, it takes some time, and then we'll come to nishtha, and then the progress is faster after that. So you will need a little more attention to that. Shake it to study seminar, it will make it more clear for you. Why the attachments are remaining, you will see that. Dayalu Vithoba Prabhu is asking, my question is how we can remain or improve our sadhana even if you are in household life. Actually, even in household life, one can keep Gaur Nithai, deities of the Lord, you can dress the Lord, bathe the Lord, decorate the Lord, offer boga to Him, put up festivals for Him, invite the neighbors and feed them prasadam, Krishna prasad. And also you can inspire the neighborhood people to put up a harinam once in a month or once in 2 months like that. In December marathon time, you can go and distribute books. And also husband wife can have a cooperative understanding. When she is cooking, you can chant. And then when you are assisting in the kitchen in something, then she can chant some rounds in the morning. And also you can sleep early and rise early. And also in case you have enough money, you can give some charity for Krishna service to the temple devotees. There are various ways grihastha can serve. And also grihastha can act as interface between the sadhus in the temple and the outside world. You can interface with the company, colleges, schools and put up programs for grihastha, for brahmacharis in temple and invite them. So many things you can do. Thank you all very much. So next week Sunday, I will continue the Manasa Vegam, Krodha Vegam. I will complete it next time. And we will proceed further. Jihva Udara Upastha, I will finish in one class. Because I am spending little more time in the first three verses.